The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 24, Texts Number 78 and 79, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on April 24th, 2016, in Vrindavan, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Idam ya Kalye Uthaya Panjali Shadaya Anvita Shvinuyat Shavayet Martya Mujjate Karma Vandanai Idanya Kalya Uthaya Panjali Shadaya Anvita Shnuyashchavayan Martyo Mujjate Kama Bandhanai Idang Yakalya Uthaya Panjali Shadayan Vita Shnuyashchavayan Martyo Mujjate Kama Bandhanai Idam, this prayer, ya, a devotee who, what I'll do is I'll say the English, those who know can repeat the English, and you do the Hindi, we'll do it that way, because there's people hearing in English on the internet too. Ya, a devotee who, kalye, early in the morning, Uthaya, after getting up from bed, Pranjali, with folded hands, Shadaya, with faith and devotion, Anvita, thus being absorbed, Shrinuyat, personally chants and hears. Shravayet, and gets others to hear. Martya, such a human being. Mujjate, becomes freed. Karma bandhanai, from all kinds of actions resulting from fruit of activities. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. A devotee who rises early in the morning and with folded hands chants these prayers sung by Lord Shiva and gives facility to others to hear them, certainly becomes free from all bondage to fruit of activities. Purport. Mukti or liberation means becoming free from the results of fruit of activities. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.10.6, Muktir Hitvanyata Rupam. Mukti means giving up all other activities and being situated in one's constitutional position, svavrupena vyavastitihi. In this conditional state, we are entangled by one's fruit of activity after another, by one fruit of activity after another. Karma bandhana means the bonds of fruit of activity. As long as one's mind is absorbed in fruit of activities, he has to manufacture plans for happiness. the bhakti yoga process is different, for bhakti yoga means acting according to the order of the supreme authority. When we act under the direction of supreme authority, we do not become entangled by fruitive results. For instance, Arjuna fought because the supreme personality of Godhead wanted him to. Therefore, he was not responsible for the outcome of the fighting. As far as devotional service is concerned, even hearing and chanting is as good as acting with our body, mind, and senses. Actually, hearing and chanting are the also activities of the senses. When the senses are utilized for one's own sense gratification, they entangle one in karma, but when they are used for the satisfaction of the Lord, they establish one in bhakti. So the short verse to end the chapter, we'll read that one as well. Kamma yedam maradevam nandana parashapung sam paramatmanas stavam japanta ekagra diyastapo mahat charadvam mante tata apayestitam. My dear sons of the king, the prayers I've recited to you are meant for pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul. I advise you to recite these prayers, which are as effective as great austerities. In this way, when you are mature, your life will be successful, and you will certainly achieve all your desired objectives without fail or purport. If we persistently engage in devotional service, certainly all our desires will be fulfilled in due course of time. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fourth canto, 24th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva. So, it is interesting to note Prabhupada's purport for the second verse. He says, if we persistently engage in devotional service, certainly all our desires will be fulfilled in due course of time. Someone may think, oh, this is very nice. I always wanted a Rolls-Royce car, so I will do devotional service to get a Rolls-Royce car. Is this what Srila Prabhupada means? That by engaging in devotional service persistently, all our desires will be fulfilled in the course of time? All my material desires will be fulfilled. Not exactly. One who is persistently engaged in devotional service will become free from all material desires. But he will develop spiritual desires. Pure desires to serve the Lord. And those desires, in due course of time, will be fulfilled. Just like Srila Prabhupada was given the order to spread Krishna consciousness movement to the English-speaking world. Because this was the order of his spiritual master, he intensely desired to do that. In the beginning, he was not successful. He started an English Back to Godhead magazine in India. He only made one disciple in India. He founded the League of Devotees in Jhansi. And he lost his temple. He went away empty-handed, except with one deity. That's all he had. So the beginning, Prabhupada's attempt was a failure. When he came to New York City also, in the beginning there was no results. For a whole year he struggled in New York City. Sometimes he would go back to the Scindia steamship office to see if there were any return ships going back to India. Prabhupada had a round trip ticket. So he was not going so well in the beginning. But he maintained that desire. Somehow or other, I must carry out the order of my spiritual master. When I was in Atlanta back in 1975, it was so wonderful. Prabhupada was there for a whole week. Can you imagine spending a whole week with Prabhupada? The living conditions were quite austere. We were staying down in the basement. About 50 brahmacharis down in the basement. And it was cold. And there was just one little bathroom. There was a huge queue for using the toilet and the shower and the sink. Huge queue. But it didn't matter. Because we knew in a few minutes we're going to go up to the temple room and we're going to be with Prabhupada. It didn't matter. The austerities didn't matter at all. So Prabhupada gave a very amazing point in his lecture. He told us what he was thinking when he came to America. He remembered one pastime of his godbrother in the UK. His godbrother had gone to the UK for preaching to the English-speaking people. And he had met with one lord, British lord, named Lord Jetland. Actually, his name was Lord Zetland. But Papa pronounced it Lord Jetland. Bengalis don't say the Z sound. So he met with Lord Jetland. And Lord Jetland, you see, he was a British lord. And he was familiar with Indian culture also. He had spent some time as the governor of Bengal under British rule. So he was thinking, well, I'm at the top of the rung of British society, I'm a lord. In the Indian society, the top rung is to be a Brahmin. So he asked Prabhupada's godbrother, he said, Swamiji, can you make me a Brahmin? Prabhupada's godbrother said, yes, I can make you a Brahmin. Simply you must follow these principles. No illicit sex. No intoxication. No meat eating. And no gambling. Lord Zetland immediately replied, impossible. So Prabhupada was thinking that when I come to your country, now that I've come to this American country, actually he was thinking on the way here as he was on the boat, he was thinking, as soon as I come to their country and I ask them, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. They will immediately say, Swamiji, please go home. So what is the point? The point is, Prabhupada thought he would be unsuccessful in his mission. He thought he would be a failure. And then Prabhupada said, but I thought, let me try. And when he said that, I was thinking, because Prabhupada tried, now we have all been saved. And I spontaneously cried out, Jai! And the whole temple room thought that was a good jai. The whole assembly of devotees broke into a big jai at that point. Because Prabhupada tried, even though he thought it would be impossible, he made that attempt on the order of his spiritual master. You see? And just see the success of Srila Prabhupada. You see? He was able to accomplish what even Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not accomplish. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only spread the Krishna consciousness movement in India. My godbrother, he one time was on a morning walk with Prabhupada. And he said, well, Prabhupada, why Lord Chaitanya didn't spread Krishna consciousness all over the world? He could have done it. He's God. Prabhupada said, because he wanted me to get the credit. So this is then one of the amazing qualities of Krishna, you see. Same thing with Arjuna, you see. Krishna could have immediately killed all the enemy soldiers. But Krishna wanted that his devotee shall become the hero of this Kurukshetra battle. He wanted Arjuna to get the credit. So just as Krishna wanted Arjuna to get the credit, and Lord Chaitanya wanted Prabhupada to get the credit. For being that one person in history who was able to spread Krishna Bhakti all over the whole world. So, how does this relate to us? There's one famous question, what's in it for me? If we, just as Prabhupada persisted in his desire, and his desire was fulfilled, if we, Prabhupada has given us an order, just like he got an order from Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Prabhupada got the order to spread Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world. And he gave us an order also. He said, you deliver the whole world. So, should we desire to do that or not? Do we desire to deliver the world? Yes or no?
Yes.
Jai. Yes, because he was ordered to spread to the English-speaking world. He desired to do that. Prabhupada has ordered us to deliver the whole world, so we should desire to deliver the whole world. Srila Prabhupada thought it would be impossible to spread it to the English-speaking world. because his god brother had failed in the UK. Similarly, we may think it's impossible to make the whole world Krishna conscious. The whole thing is so corrupt. The government leaders are rascals. The educational leaders are rascals. The Bollywood movie stars are all rascals. The popular musicians are all rascals. Everywhere simply rascals, 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 rascals. The whole world is rascals. So how can we possibly make them into devotees? Even to make one person a devotee is very difficult. Did you know you're a bhakta leader? Did you know that you are a bhakta leader? Really, I didn't know I was a bhakta leader. Who is the bhakta you're leading? Who's the bhakta you're training up? Yourself. Your bhakta program is to make yourself into a devotee. And then after that, your next step is to deliver the whole world. Seems impossible, doesn't it? Even to make myself Krishna conscious oftentimes seems impossible. I want to always remember Krishna, but I don't always remember Krishna. Sometimes I think of Krishna, sometimes I think of myself. Even I am not fixed in Krishna consciousness. So how can I fulfill this order to deliver the world if I'm not even Krishna conscious? Well, there's a twofold program there, ladies and gentlemen. Twofold program. Bahirna Singha Hridayena Singha, as I explained in yesterday's Bhagavatam class. To the extent that you Krishnaize yourself, you will get the Shakti for Krishnaizing the world around you. So, become a pure devotee. You should desire to become a pure devotee of Krishna as soon as possible. And as Prabhupada says, if you persistently engage in devotional service, all your desires will be fulfilled in due course of time. A pure devotee is a very, very special thing. When you become a pure devotee, you'll be able to see Krishna face to face. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksadaiva hidayeshu valokayanti yang shama shundaram achint yagunasvarupam govindamadi purusham damaham vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who was Shama Sundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion, smeared with the salve of love. Srila Prabhupada explains that not only do the pure devotees see Krishna within, they also see Krishna without. So therefore we have two desires. Bahir nasingho hridaye nasingha. We want Krishna fully manifest within, and we want to be able to make the whole world Krishna conscious. So we can't just whimsically, periodically desire these things. We have to persistently engage in devotional service for achieving these two goals, to Krishnaize myself and to Krishnaize the world around me. If you make this your meditation, and you are persistent, you will be successful in due course of time according to our authority, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Are there any questions? Very good. Here comes one question. Written questions are very good. That way, hopefully I can read it. Let's see. Maybe it's English especially, I can read it. If it's Hindi, I'll give it to you. Let's see here. Okay. Can Hare Krishna Maha Mantra make us free from birth and death? Absolutely. From birth and death rituals. Yeah, this is all that is required. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Even if there's no ritual performed at the time of your leaving the body, if you were chanting Krishna's name as you left, your perfection is there, guaranteed. A question from yesterday's class. You mentioned a pure devotee does not care whether he is in heaven or hell. His only desire is to serve the Lord. Does this necessitate knowledge of his particular rushi for the Lord or of his svarup? You have to know your svarup to be detached from heaven and hell. Sarup Siddhi is a very advanced stage of Krishna consciousness. It is a perfectional stage of Krishna consciousness. One who achieves Sarup Siddhi, he actually remembers what his relationship is with Krishna in his eternal lila. Whether he's a gopi, a gopa, a parent, a servant, a friend, a cow, a peacock feather, a dhoti, a blade of grass, or a particle of dust. So that is called Swarup Siddhi. Some people try to imitate that position. That yes, now I am gopi. There was one brahmachari in our in the old days of ISKCON. He met some babaji in Raj who said, "Oh, you are a peacock in Krishna Leela." So they found him in Mayapur in his room. He was going woo, 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 woo. He said, "Prabhu, what are you doing?" "Oh, I'm practicing my rasa." This is not some cheap thing. You can go to Radhakund and give some rupees to some babaji and he tells you your rasa. It's not some, don't follow some sahaja path like them. Is it? It is only realized by your own internal awakening. It is not to be imitated. And those who awaken it, it's completely confidential. They don't go, "Oh, Prabhu, guess what? I realized my rasa last name." It's completely confidential. They never tell anyone. Within their heart, they realize their relationship with Krishna, but externally they act as a sadhana bhakta. A perfect sadhana bhakta. The purport mentions acting according to the order of the Lord. The difficulty seems to be to know what the Lord wants from us. The difficulty is acting. The purport says acting according to the order of the Lord. The difficulty is to know what the Lord wants from us. If I don't know my swarup, how do I know what the Lord wants? You see, thinking, well, I have to know my swarup. You don't have to know your swarup to know what the Lord wants. Krishna clearly states in the Bhagavad Gita exactly what he wants of you. It's so clear in the Vedic wisdom. He says you approach the bona fide spiritual master, you take instructions from him, you become his servant. In this way, by following your Guru Maharaj, you're following me. It's there in our scriptures. It's very easy. It's not difficult. You simply follow the order of your spiritual master. And by doing that, you are pleasing Krishna. The spiritual master is described as the representative of the Lord. Does this mean he is a 100% transparent by a medium of Krishna? If the spiritual master is not a transparent via medium of Krishna, he's not a spiritual master. He's a fake. He's not a real. A bona fide spiritual master means he's a transparent via medium of Krishna. If he's not, he's not a bona fide spiritual master. So does this necessitate the spiritual master being a certain level of devotion? To know exactly Krishna's specific will or will for others. Yes, the spiritual master must be a completely sold out servant of his spiritual master. I know exactly what Krishna wants. He wants me to strictly follow Prabhupada. Therefore, I am strictly following Krishna. Because I am strictly following Srila Prabhupada. And I can instruct others how they can also strictly follow. I see so many things. ISKCON now, devotees are not strictly following. But I am strictly following. What if one feels the difference between Chaitva Guru and the external manifestation of Guru? What if you feel the difference between Guru within and the Guru without? There actually is no difference between Chaitva Guru and the external Guru. You haven't connected with Chaitva Guru, you have your own mental concoctions only, you're connecting with your mental concoctions. Or the external Guru is not a bona fide Guru. The Guru within, Chaitva Guru, and the Guru without, they are perfectly in line with each other. Okay, if we want to have to live in Vrindavan and do bhakti here, or we want to do prachar in various places, what is better to do? Should we live in Vrindavan or should we live somewhere else preaching? Just ask your spiritual master. Whatever he instructs you to do, that's all. He says, I want you to live in Vrindavan, then you live in Vrindavan. And by living in Vrindavan, you'll be in direct contact with Krishna. He says, I want you to go to Delhi for preaching work. Say, oh, how can I leave Vrindavan and go to Heli Delhi? No, that's not the right attitude. Whatever your spiritual master instructs, by following that order, you'll be just as connected with Krishna in Heli Delhi as you will be in heavenly Vrindavan. The key is you take the order of your spiritual master as your very life and soul. You tightly embrace the Guru Maharaj's instructions. When you do so, you have his lotus feet planted firmly on your head. And when you have Guru Maharaj's lotus feet planted firmly on your head, you are in direct contact with Krishna at every minute. So, are there any more questions? All right, Hindi, okay.
What is Lord Shiva's prayers?
The prayer is given in the chapter, in the previous verses. They can study that. Yeah. And then the other one? Why is it necessary for a woman to get married in Krishna consciousness? There is no question of force. No, we don't force any woman to get married in Krishna consciousness. But when you're young, it may seem nice to be single. But as life moves on, your parents have now left the world. They're gone. Your parents will depart at a certain time. They'll leave their bodies, and then, your other family members, they're off somewhere else. Now you have no support at all. You're just out there, trying to struggle to make some money and associating with non-devotees. It's very difficult for a single woman as she gets older. The Vedic system is every woman should be married. Actually, Prabhupada said he wants every one of the girls to be married. And he wants all the boys to stay brahmachari. He said that is the dilemma. But Prabhupada also said, any girl who is a chaste girl and she's a good cook, I will personally arrange for her husband. So actually, it's better they get married. Especially as they get older and their family, the support they have now in their young age, their parents are dead and gone, what they will do, where they will live, how they will maintain. Actually, in Vedic culture, the ladies don't go to work in the office. They are called domestic engineers. They manage the household very expertly. The puja, the prasadam, the cleanliness, everything. They are the lords of the house. The husband goes out for working in the material world and the lady stays home. That is Vedic culture. Ladies are not meant to be working outside. That is not Vedic culture. When I was a boy, even in America, the ladies did not go working. All the ladies stayed home. Only very small, there were a few secretaries and a few school teachers. Other than that, all the ladies stayed at home. In America, even back in the 50s. As soon as you put the ladies out in the workplace, they're associating with some lusty, carmi men more than their own husband. They spend 8, 9, 10 hours a day with some lusty men, surrounding by lusty men. And they come home for a couple of hours, take rest, get back and don't do the same thing the next day, you see. So a woman to be alone is a very, very difficult position. Therefore, if they get a good husband, they're intelligent to take advantage of it. My god sister Arundhati, she was in our Boston temple. There was a Brahmacharini ashram, four girls. Prabhupada arranged for all four girls to have nice husbands, you see. But Arundhati, she thought, she wasn't, the idea of arranged marriage is not American conception, right? So she became completely in anxiety and she refused to accept Prabhupada's arrangement. And now all the other girls are married, they have husbands. And she's all alone in the Brahmacharini ashram, the only one. So she thought, yes, I want to get married. And she got a very good husband. Prajumna Prabhu, the Prabhupada's Sanskrit scholar. Very good husband. I personally heard this story from her. My god sister Arundhati Devi Dasi. So it's better they get married, you see. Don't be foolish. The Vedic culture is perfect culture. Your modern day culture is Rakshasic culture. Learn how to embrace Vedic culture, you see. So we'll stop here. And we thank you all very, very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Premanandi.